You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Tuesday, July 13th, 2021. And welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I am your host, Connor Newcomb, and coming up on today's episode, we talk about the incredible show that Trey Mancini put on in Monday night's Home Run Derby. Then, a little bit of chatter about day two of the MLB draft for the Orioles, as they made picks in rounds 2 through 10 during the day on Monday. Then we are going to look ahead to the All-Star game tonight, as Cedric Mullins was finally named the starter in center field for the AL squad. He will get the start in the All-Star game. We'll look ahead to that and day three of the draft as well, coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast. So that's all coming up right here on this episode, which is brought to you by another podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. That is Locked On MLB Prospects. It's MLB draft season, and the Locked On MLB Prospects pod is covering every future star of MLB. Host Aram Layton brings you player interviews and farm system breakdowns every single day. Subscribe to Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods. So we have to start today with the biggest show from Monday night, and what a show it was, the 2021 Major League Baseball Home Run Derby at Coors Field in Denver, Colorado. And of course, everyone was excited here in Orioles land with Trey Mancini competing in the Derby. And, you know, really the thought was, hey, Trey's there. It's awesome. There's seven other incredible home run hitters there. We don't expect much probably from Trey, but this is just going to be a cool scene to see him in the Derby. And what was cool is that Trey actually got to go first in the entire Derby on Monday night. I mean, you know, out of the eight participants in the four matchups, his matchup against Matt Olson of the Oakland Athletics, that went first. And Trey put on a show in the first round, 24 home runs from Trey Mancini in that first round. And what a cool moment it was. You know, his first, I don't know, 80 to 90 seconds, something like that, you know, right around a minute, he hits two home runs. Not a good pace. Calls timeout. You do get one timeout to call during the first round. Cedric Mullins comes over, gives him a Gatorade, helps him cool off a little bit. And then after that break, he hit 17 home runs in the next about minute and a half. He got himself the bonus minute. He put up five more. And all of a sudden, he had 24, which, you know, it's hard to know because they you know, alter the rules a little bit every year. The newest rule this year for the Home Run Derby is that you don't have to wait for the ball to land to pitch the next ball. So there are going to be more home runs this year, which is why the 2021 Home Run Derby actually set the all-time record for home runs in a single derby. But despite that 24 number, you know, you didn't know if that was enough for Mancini. And Matt Olson, left-handed hitter, a lot of power. Left-handed hitter plays well at Coors Field. And he did pretty well, too. And it came down to the end. Matt Olson's final swing coming at the buzzer of the bonus round when he had 23 home runs, needed one to tie. He hooks one down the right field line, and it just hooked foul, and Mancini won by one in the first round. You're thinking, I mean, that was just a cool enough experience by itself for him to win in the first round, get to the second round. It was incredible. And then he matches up in the second round with the hometown guy, Trevor Story, who was playing in his home ballpark, potentially for the final time in a big moment, as he is a free agent after this year, and most people assume that Colorado is going to trade him at the deadline this season. And, you know, you're thinking, all right, the home crowd's going to get behind him. He had a nice first round to take out Joey Gallo, and you're thinking, great run by Trey. And then Trevor Story just kind of loses it. Story went first in that round. He only hits 12 home runs, which I believe was the lowest total of anyone in the entire Derby last night. And Mancini set up pretty well. He got off to a little bit of a slow start, but he hits 13 easily, you know, didn't even need the bonus round, got to 13 in the final minute of the regular three-minute timing. And all of a sudden, he was off to the finals. And, you know, the other side of the Home Run Derby bracket was where a lot of the excitement was. We had an unbelievable matchup in the first round between Shohei Ohtani and Juan Soto that went to an extra round of overtime. Then it went to a swing-off, and Juan Soto ended up winning it. Then you had Pete Alonso in the first round, just an unbelievable matchup with Salvador Perez, where Pete Alonso hit 35, which was ended up being the round high for any round last night. And then Salvador Perez comes up. You're thinking he has no shot. He actually hits 28, 28 ends up being the second highest total for any round last night. It just so happened that Perez had to go up against Alonso in the first round, and Perez was eliminated. And then, of course, Alonso, you know, puts on a show once again in the second round. He takes out Soto, and it's Trey Mancini versus the defending champion, Pete Alonso. And, you know, the timer actually went down in the final round. You only got 2 minutes plus the one bonus minute. And Trey Mancini hit 22 home runs in basically 3 minutes. That was a pretty damn good number for Trey Mancini. But Pete Alonso, I mean, the show he put on was just insane. Alonso ended up hitting 17 in the initial 2 minutes, and he had the bonus minute. Of course, needed 5 to tie and 6 to win. He literally did not miss a beat. Alonso, on his first 6 swings of the bonus round, hit home runs. He did not miss one at all, took 6 pitches, 6 homers, and Alonso back-to-back home run derby champs. But, I mean, what a cool moment it was for Trey Mancini. I mean, he gets a standing ovation from the Coors Field crowd. There was a solid amount of Orioles fans in the stands. If you're listening to this and you were there at Coors Field on Monday night, let us know. Send us an email. Send us a tweet. We'll give you a shout-out if you were in the ballpark on Monday night. But, of course, the ESPN broadcast covered well what Trey's been through. You know, what a cool moment for Chuck Ristano, who was the pitcher for Trey Mancini last night. We talked about this a little bit a couple of weeks ago when it was announced, but Ristano, an assistant coach and pitching coach at Notre Dame, where Trey Mancini played his college baseball, and Ristano was actually Trey's BP pitcher and really his home run derby pitcher when Trey competed in the 2012 Big East Conference home run derby. And after that event, you know, Trey did well, and he told Ristano that, you know, hey, if I ever am in the big league one, you can be my pitcher. Well, 9 years later, here he is. He calls him up, and Ristano came, and you know, he was a lefty, which you don't see a lot from the home run derby pitchers, but he did a great job, and, you know, basically was throwing all strikes. If it weren't for, you know, Jack Rouse, I believe it is, the Pete Alonso pitcher, who was like a machine out there, basically, you know, Ristano would have been the best, you know, home run derby pitcher out there as well. He was doing a great job helping Trey out, and just what a cool moment. You know, you had not just Cedric Mullins there hyping him up, but, you know, all the other big leaguers. I mean, cool moments with Mancini hanging out with Tatis as they were watching Alonso's round. And I mean, you know, the one that brought the tear to my eye was Manny Machado coming up and hanging out with Mancini during his final round, congratulating him throughout the derby. I mean, what a great moment it was to show it off for Mancini, and just another step back in his comeback. And it really feels like this kind of fully cemented, you know, his comeback. Like, he is back, and he had a huge moment on a national stage on Monday night, and it was just incredible to watch for Trey Mancini. What a cool moment, you know, for Orioles fans too. I mean, we have a couple things we can hold on to: the Cedric Mullins season to be an All-Star starter, the John Means no-hitter. You can put Trey Mancini, home run derby finalist, into that list of, you know, the cool moments from an otherwise tough 2021 season so far. But it's a night of Orioles baseball we'll never forget, and Trey seemed pretty good at this. Maybe he comes back next year and tries to take out Pete Alonso, because that's what everyone's goal is at this point, just beat Pete Alonso. He is too good at this home run derby thing. But again, just what a fantastic moment. Everyone rallying behind Trey Mancini, and it was just unbelievable to see. You know, his whole family was there as well. Just a very, very cool moment for Trey all around at Coors Field on Monday night. But the home run derby wasn't the only thing Monday involving the Orioles. It was also day 2 of the MLB draft. Of course, day 1, the first round was Sunday night, with the Orioles picking Colton Cowser, the outfielder out of Sam Houston State, with their first pick, number 5 overall in the first round. But they made a whole lot more draft selections on day 2. They actually ended up making 10 of them on day 2 on Monday. So coming up next, we're going to break down some of the key names that the Orioles took and take a quick look at some of the guys who are coming in to the O's system on day 2 of the draft. That's coming up after the break. So we'll get to our Orioles Day 2 draft recap in just a second, but first, this episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to RockAuto.com at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money when using rockauto.com. Prices are reliably low for every customer, and it's a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. And they have everything you could need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And write Locked On Orioles in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. So for the Orioles, and for most teams really, the fun truly began in the MLB draft on Monday. That was day two of the draft, rounds 2 through 10. And the Orioles had 10 picks. Of course, they had a pick in every single round, 2 through 10. Plus, they had a second-round competitive balance pick, which was the 65th overall pick. So the Orioles got 10 new players into the system on Monday, presuming that they all end up signing with the Orioles. And wanted to go through a few of them and really just get through all of them and try to give you at least a little blurb on everybody here on this pod. What we are going to do, though, is have at least one segment on future episodes over the next weeks and months, potentially, really previewing every single player that the Orioles draft. Now, you know, not just Colton Cowles at the first round pick, not just the guys they took on Monday, but the 10 players that they will draft later today, and also the, you know, couple of undrafted free agents that the Orioles will most likely sign after the draft end. And there's people out here who have watched these guys way more than I have and know a lot more, so we're going to get you deeper breakdowns on each of these guys, but just wanted to run through who the Orioles took. So it started for the O's in the second round, 41st pick overall, and they went with one of the guys that I loved in this draft. And now, I don't pretend to be any kind of, you know, draft mogul, and I will tell you, I don't know pretty much anything at all about the high school players, but I do watch a lot of college baseball, and I've seen a lot of these college guys play, and the Orioles went with mostly college bats here in day two, so I felt like I knew a little bit about a lot of these guys. But it starts with Connor Norby. He is a middle infielder out of East Carolina University, was the 2021 American Athletic Conference Player of the Year. He led Division I baseball in hits with 102 hits in the 2021 season. He hit 415 this year with 15 home runs. He was the leadoff hitter for an incredible ECU team, which was a top 10 team in the country pretty much all year. Norby, a fantastic hitter, not a huge guy, a little bit of a smaller player, but he's built well. He's still got good power. He is going to be a really, really good hitter. He just hits and hits and hits, and was basically called probably the best college bat left on the board when the Orioles picked there at 41. Then they had their competitive balance round pick. That was 65th overall between the second and third rounds. And they took an outfielder, Reed Trimble, out of Southern Miss, a switch hitting outfielder who can play every position in the outfield, but also played some infield in his time at Southern Miss. And the Orioles are apparently thinking about maybe converting him fully to the infield, where he can play second and third base. He was really good this season, hit 345, 17 homers. He led Division I with 72 RBIs this year for Southern Miss. Also, in the NCAA tournament for Southern Miss, he was ridiculous. He hit 560 with 3 homers and 14 RBIs in 7 tournament games. Third round pick for the Orioles, they went a little off the board with this one. They went with the outfielder John Rhodes from Kentucky. Now, his offensive numbers weren't incredible, 251 average, 397 on base this year, did hit 11 home runs, but he was really kind of a darling of the shortened 2020 season. He had an almost 1,200 OPS in the 17 games in 2020 for Kentucky before the season was shut down. And, you know, his season wasn't as good, but he's got a great throwing arm in the outfield. He had 8 outfield assists, which led the country this year. And he actually used to be a catcher in high school, but he broke his back between his freshman and sophomore years of high school, had to move to the outfield. But now he's basically a utility guy. So he's listed as an outfield, but he has basically played every position but pitcher and catcher in his college career. And of course, he has a lot of experience at catcher because that's what he did growing up. Into the fourth round, you're going to sense a trend here. Another college outfielder by the Orioles. They took, with the fourth round pick, number 106 overall, the center fielder Dante Williams out of Arizona. This dude was a pleasure to watch defensively. Two-time All-Pac-12 defensive team in his 4 years. He's a four-year starter at Arizona. Made some insane catches in center field. Covers so much ground out there. It's kind of like watching Cedric Mullins play center. You just think he's not going to get to a baseball, and then he does. The bat really came around his last couple of years, but especially his final year here in 2021. Hit .342 with a .481 on base, 8 homers, 17 doubles this year. The bat is there from the left side, but he is an incredible, incredible defender. In the fifth round, with pick number 137, Orioles actually went with a guy that I had not seen before. It was the right-handed pitcher Carlos Tavera out of UT Arlington down in Texas. And he had a really good year this year. 83 innings. He was the ace of the UT Arlington staff. A 3.04 ERA for the right-hander. 117 strikeouts on the season, which set a new program record to just 33 walks. He threw a 9-inning no-hitter this year with 11 Ks, but it didn't go down as a true no-hitter for him because his team also didn't score, and they actually had to win in 11 innings. It was a 0-0 game after 9. He was also a junior college player, played 2 years at junior college before transferring to UTA and playing 2 more years there. But a hard-throwing right-hander, you know, he's up at 93, 94, and has some good stuff. Round 6, pick 167, Orioles take a college infielder, the shortstop Colin Burns out of Tulane. A smaller guy, left-handed hitter, who is an elite, elite defender, was one of the finalists for the Best Shortstop in College Baseball Award this year. But also, really, his bat was, you know, he was a defense-first, kind of not a big bat-at-all guy his first 2 years. But this year, here came the bat. He hit .353 this year, .410 on base percentage, 8 homers, 20 doubles. He also stole 20 bases this year. Really a leadoff hitter type guy who had the bat come around and maybe a late bloomer offensively for the Orioles. Seventh round pick for the O's, pick number 197 overall. They took their first catcher of the day, Connor Pavloni, who was a starting catcher for Tennessee this year, one of the best teams in college baseball. Solid bat for Pavloni, .260 average, .365 on base, 7 home runs. But he is known for his defense. He threw out 9 base stealers, and he is also kind of known around college baseball as one of the best pitch framers in all of high-level college baseball. So he was a 3-year starter at catcher for Tennessee. He actually broke his hand in April, was hit by a pitch, only missed about a week or two, came back, kind of played with that hand still semi-broken through the rest of the season and the NCAA tournament, was still hitting home runs, actually had better offensive numbers when he returned from the broken hand. And then him talking to the media last week, he said that hand is now finally healed, so he should be good to go when he enters the system. Eighth round for the Orioles, pick number 227. They finally took a high school player. This was their first high school pick, and it's another catcher. It's Creed Willems. This may have been my favorite pick in the draft, even though I knew nothing about him until yesterday's draft. He is a 6'1", 220-pound left-handed hitter who has a cannon behind the dish. Pop times under 2 seconds, which is really, really good. He threw a lot of guys out in high school, and he's going to continue to do that. He is committed to TCU for baseball, one of the best programs in the country, but it feels like with the money the Orioles saved, they definitely have the money to get him to professional baseball. And he hits from the left side, and he hits some bombs. He also pitches some. Not sure the Orioles will have him pitch, but he threw 94 on the mound and had some really good stuff. But it is a big swing from a big guy from the left side. He likes to bat flip, and he has some fun highlights. Ninth round for the Orioles, pick number 230. They went back to the college ranks. Took a third baseman here, Ryan Higgins, third baseman out of Fresno State. 2-year starter in college who had a fantastic season in 2021. .352, .453, .667 slash line with 11 homers. Was kind of the anchor of a Fresno State team that did kind of struggle this year. A pretty good program historically, but didn't have a great year. But he was kind of their shining star this year. And he also can move around the diamond. He's played third base, first base, and left field. And I'm sure that's something Mike Elias will have him doing in the minor leagues for versatility. And then the final pick of the day by the Orioles, 10th round, pick number 287. You guessed it, another college outfielder. They took Billy Cook, who was a starting center fielder at Pepperdine for the last 4 years. Started all 4 years of his career. Hit .298, .386 on base, .725 slugging. He hit 17 home runs. That is a big, big college number this year in 2021. And he hit those 17 homers in only 33 games this season. He led the West Coast Conference in home runs and didn't play, you know, missed 10, 15 games this year. So he had a really, really big season, did Billy Cook. And again, you know, he's a guy who has huge power, but looks like he could stay in center field defensively. But that was the string of picks from the Orioles, the 10 selections they have made. You add Colton Cowser to the list. Those are the 11 guys the Orioles have brought in so far in the draft. And coming up later today, starting at noon Eastern time, it is the final rounds of this year's draft. Again, you know, it used to be a 40-round draft. Last year it was 5 rounds. This year they've gone back to 20 rounds. 11 through 20 will be today here on Tuesday. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Orioles. Have a thread going of every single pick the Orioles are making with a little blurb and some video on them. And so stay tuned. We will get you the next 10 picks for the Orioles, and we will talk about them on tomorrow's episode. But before we go today, of course, we got to talk about Cedric Mullins. He's an all-star starter. We'll talk about what that means coming up after the break. So we're back to the Orioles talk in just a second, but first got to tell you about betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Now, we've got baseball season in full swing, and you can track all that action at betonline.ag. Hey, if you put your money on Pete Alonso last night, well, you got your money's worth as he wins back-to-back. Maybe it'd be a good time to place a futures bet on Pete Alonso winning the 2022 Home Run Derby, because he has got that thing down. But it's not just baseball. You can get all the latest news, odds, and info on all your sporting needs. How about the NBA game for the finals coming up tomorrow night? How about UFC and MMA action, which there's a lot of great action every single weekend. So before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. You don't want to sit on the sidelines anymore. Head to the website, sign up today, and you can receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So us Orioles fans had a whole lot of fun in really night one of All-Star Week festivities in the Home Run Derby with Trey Mancini reaching the finals, coming very close to winning the whole thing and really inspiring everyone, not across baseball, but across the world who was watching. Then you turn things to tonight, Tuesday night, the big spectacle, the MLB All-Star Game here in 2021. And we got some very exciting news on Monday afternoon as they had a press conference with the managers for the All-Star teams, Dave Roberts and Kevin Cash, with their starting pitchers, and where they also named their starting lineups. And of course, it was news on the starting pitchers. We learned that Shohei Ohtani is going to start the game on the mound for the American League team. He is also going to hit leadoff in the lineup and hit for himself. And then later in the game, he will be replaced by pitchers and he'll be replaced at the DH spot. So they're going to bend the rules of baseball a little bit to make sure Ohtani can hit and pitch in the All-Star game, which is obviously the correct decision by Major League Baseball. We wanted to see him do as much as he possibly can. And then we learned Max Scherzer is going to start the game for the National League. Of course, Jacob deGrom will not be pitching in the game, so they ended up going with Scherzer, who starts his fourth All-Star game on the mound. But of course, the other thing we were waiting for is who would be kind of the replacement starters on each side, and most specifically, who would be replacing Mike Trout in the outfield in the American League. And you know, we had to wait till really the last second as Kevin Cash read off his lineup, but it ended with, in the nine hole, Cedric Mullins starting and playing center field for the American League All-Star team. Obviously, an incredibly, incredibly deserving moment for Cedric Mullins. And, you know, he didn't get voted in, you know, I believe when he finished fifth or sixth among AL outfielders in All-Star voting. And, but he had the most votes among players. And, you know, we talked about how much he deserves it. And he does. 88 games for Mullins so far this season, 106 hits, which leads the league, 314 average, 380 on base, 541 slugging, a 151 OPS plus, 16 homers, 23 doubles, 3 triples, 35 RBIs, 16 stolen bases, 34 walks drawn. He's played a Gold Glove center field so far. He has been fantastic and a deserving start in the All-Star game. Of course, Mullins becomes the first Oriole to start the All-Star game since Manny Machado in 2018, when he started shortstop and batted seventh in the AL lineup as kind of his last hurrah with the O's before they traded him to the Dodgers really days later. And now it will be Cedric Mullins hitting ninth in the lineup. Rest of the lineup, if you want to know, it's Shohei Ohtani. Again, he'll lead off in DH. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. is playing first base, hitting second. Xander Bogaerts is hitting third. Aaron Judge fourth. Then Rafael Devers hits fifth. Marcus Semien sixth. Salvador Perez hits seventh. Teoscar Hernandez is eighth. Cedric Mullins in the nine hole. And again, Shohei Ohtani is the starting pitcher for the American League. I gotta say, the National League lineup does not look as imposing as the AL lineup. It's Tatis, Max Muncy, Nolan Arenado, then Freddie Freeman hitting cleanup, Nick Castellanos, Jesse Winker, JT Realmuto, and then two Pirates at the bottom, Brian Reynolds and Adam Frazier, with again Max Scherzer on the hill. And I gotta say, you know, with the opt-outs and with guys, you know, being injured or pitching on Sunday or whatever it may be, I say advantage American League, at least among the starters in this year's All-Star game. But the festivities are tonight. Hope you can tune in and watch Cedric Mullins. The hope would be that, you know, it's a little shaky sometimes when guys hit eighth and ninth, depending on how quickly the opposing pitchers get through the lineups. But the hope is that Mullins would get two plate appearances in the game and play, you know, 4 to 5 innings defensively in center field. And we hope we get as much Cedric Mullins as possible in the All-Star game. But before we go today, I do have to tell you about another podcast here on the network. That is the Locked On Today podcast. And today on the Locked On Today podcast, this is Shohei Ohtani's world, and we're all just living in his greatness. And we're going to live in that greatness continued tonight in the All-Star game. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods. So again, All-Star game tonight. Cedric Mullins is a starter. Hope you enjoy it. We will be back tomorrow. We will recap all the happenings from the All-Star game and everything Cedric Mullins did in the game to represent the Orioles. We will give a recap of the Orioles on day 3 of the draft and let you know who the O's took with their 10 selections, their final 10 selections in the draft in rounds 11 through 20. Hopefully it is another fun group of players coming into what is already, of course, a great Orioles minor league system. But that's all coming up on tomorrow's episode. Until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.